You're listening to Talk Radio X, the talk of mobility.
Coming for your birthday.
German has the only presents I want. Guns. Guns so that the name of El Guapo will be hanging on everyone's lips.
He will be here, Guapo. But I think he would like your other presents too. I have put many beautiful piñatas in the storeroom, each of them filled with little surprises.
Many piñatas?
Oh, yes, many.
Would you say I have a plethora of piñatas?
A what?
A plethora.
Oh, yes. You have a plethora.
Jefe, what is a plethora?
Why, Guapo?
Well, you told me I have a plethora. And I just would like to know if you know what a plethora is. I would not like to think that a person would tell someone he has a plethora and find out that that person has no idea what it means to have a plethora.
Forgive me, Guapo. I know that I, Jefe, do not have your superior intellect and education. But could it be that once again, you are angry at something else and are looking to take it out on me?
Like what, Jefe?
Could it be because you are turning 40 today?
No.
Could it be because Carmen chooses to sleep in her cell instead of with you? Why don't you just take her? When you want cattle, you take the cattle. When you want food, you take the food. When you want a woman, you just take the woman. Why don't you just take her?
Jefe, you do not understand women. You cannot force open the petals of a flower. When the flower is ready, it opens itself up to you.
When do you think Carmen will open up her flower to you?
Tonight, or I will kill her.
You're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
My world, her world,
his world, our world, mine and his alone. I've got to go, I've got to go. On that midnight train, on a boat,
get aboard,
on a boat,
get aboard,
on a boat,
on a midnight train.
I missed it,
you missed it.
I missed that midnight train to Georgia.
You missed that midnight train.
It's 11:45, and I was misinformed about the time.
Misinformed about the time.
Feedback. Hey, everybody. episode 107 of Nowhere in Mulberry. How you doing, everybody? Yeah. Oh, thank you, Foggy. Oh, very nice of you there. Oh, good time. Hey, everybody. Nice to have you on. Hey, I'm going to kill you, Foggy, if you don't stop. How's it going? Apparently, we had some kind of technical difficulty or something. When I connected to Oddcast, it bumped me off stereo mix. Kind of weird, but oh well. You live with the mistakes, right, when you're live, Steven?
You know it.
Steven, the pop culture zealot, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, just fine today. How about you?
Doing fine. The thing is, we had no idea anything was going wrong until Bill sent me a message. So I was like, oh, I wonder what he's talking about.
And speaking of Bill?
Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
Master of the segues.
I'm okay. I apologize if my connection is a little wonky. For some reason, I keep getting feedback.
Hey, it's okay. I mean, we started off so well. Might as well keep, you know, going right in the shitter. Hey, what are you saying? I need to stop saying
I love
saying
hearing
hey.
Myself.
Yeah, I've said hey so
hey.
Many times. Hey! Yeah, we haven't had any kind of those echo problems since, like, the early days of Nowhere in Mulberry. So are you guys echoing right now?
Yeah, whoever people were that called in really screwed us up.
Somebody called in?
Yeah, there were, like, three calls that came in during the intro.
Weird. Interesting.
Yeah.
We could reboot, but that'd mess up the show.
No, that's not happening.
Hopefully it'll go away. That's all we can hope for.
I pray.
But I'm glad to have you guys on the show. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. Whatever happened is right when the show was beginning. Was somebody calling you, Bill? No one was calling me.
I don't know. Suppose somebody was.
On Skype?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Well, Bill, hope we can fight through it. Hopefully things go back to normal. That's kind
can
of
you hear my echo on your end?
No.
Oh, okay, I can. It's bad.
See, I can hear Vanessa. It's bad.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Well, do you want me to hang up on you guys and call you back? It might help.
Yeah.
Yeah, do that.
Because okay. This is very distracting.
Okay. Don't want to have you distracted. So, bye, guys. I'll call you back.
And cut. Oh, wait. We can't cut because we're live.
Hey, Steven. How you doing? It's the Jason and Steven. Hey, look. There's no feedback, no problems whatsoever. Just you and me.
Crazy computers.
How about some kind of nighttime zoo show? They have morning zoo, but we're going to change the rules. Nighttime zoo. What do you think?
Right.
Hey, party animals, it's the nighttime zoo.
Can we do prank calls?
Yeah. Okay, let's start with Bill. Hello?
Yes.
How was that?
Good. I don't hear an echo. Excellent. Thank you.
You know what it is? I know what's causing this problem. A new Skype started. And I was so busy working on the show, I never had a chance to go into the options and make sure nothing, like, defaulted. I bet you right now it's at the default settings.
I'm sure it is.
Something like that.
But we're okay now, so that's good. We can continue now.
We're okay until we call Vanessa, and it's
true. Yeah, and then the sound goes to shit.
Okay, we're going to be silent until she picks up, okay? Here we go.
All right.
Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
No echo, yay!
All right, boom goes the dynamite. Okay, guys, all back to normal. We're going to heavily edit the show. No, but, okay, Bill, before we have a very big show this week, a very big shoe. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, unbelievably, because we started watching shows that we're getting, such as Wife Swap and Celebrity Apprentice. Mm-hmm. And even The Fattest Loser. I watched that this week, and it was great. Oh, wait, The Biggest Loser. I'm sorry. Even Extreme Makeover Home Edition. I had to check that out.
Oh, I can't stand the host of that.
Well,
yeah, I can't watch that
Thai
show.
Guy. Hey, guys. I got a soul patch from hell.
Well, there's so much scripted drama to that show
soul
that it's
patch.
Just painful.
If you think it's scripted, just wait till we talk about it later. But we also have a new Lost in Mulberry by Mick and Credo that we can't wait to hear. Foggy, Steven, do some applause, quick. Yeah, there we go. So, but before we get to that, Bill, I want to talk about on my TV, I decided to go for the ISF calibration, the Imaging Science Foundation, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I decided to pay money for that, and I'm on a... basically, I got to wait till March till they could come out to do it. But I just wanted to explain what it is when you have something calibrated, tell me if I'm right, Bill, what you're doing is the industry, the film industry, the television industry has a set of standards that they master their TV shows and film to, these exact settings on their monitors.
Correct.
And what you do when you get something calibrated for your home is you have a guy come out and set your TV up exactly, your HDTV. You could also do a regular monitor, I'm sure.
You can do any type of display.
To that Academy standard.
Yeah, so they come out and they basically drape the entire room in complete blackness. They have a bunch of tools that they analyze it with. They hook it up to a computer. They have a little spectrometer that they hook directly to your screen to measure grayscale.
It's going boop, 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 boop. And I'm like, that doesn't
You know what?
Like
it doesn't make sounds, but hands. it does show the like graph bars whenever the picture's going to measure the grayscales and the colors and all that. It's really technical. It's cool.
Sweet. So basically when I watch something like the final cut of Blade Runner and it says this final cut was mastered and approved by Ridley Scott, what I'll be watching on my TV, my setup, will be pretty close to what he approved, right?
Yeah.
Like, say if I watched In the Name of the King on my monitor.
It'll be exactly what Uwe Boll wants you to see.
That is so awesome. Uwe, I approve of this, yes.
I am master of it color. It is
perfect cut. Jason Statham is great actor.
Would you like some sausage?
Would you like to watch me box?
Do you, Boll? Actually,
I want to hit you in the head. Watch my movies.
So, guys, if people don't know, Lost in Mulberry is basically kind of a side thing to Nowhere in Mulberry. It's
a spoof.
We exist in another reality in Mulberry with zombies, Scientologist, Jonathan Anton.
Like real life.
Yeah.
Which really, you know, that depresses me when I hear Darth Jonathan because what I guess Blowout was canceled on Bravo. I don't.
Yeah, Blowout.
No, I think he decided to quit the show, I thought.
I think what happened is he got married, he had a kid, and he was like,
his little monkey.
Yeah, I don't need to do
this. He's a little monkey.
I love Jonathan, by the way. He's a genius.
He'll have slamming hair.
I hear he did the last episode of whatever, that lesbian workout show. He did an episode.
The View?
No, the lesbian show on Bravo with the
trainer. I think it's called
trainer.
Workout or something like that.
Major issues.
Yeah, so
he did her show and did her hair or something.
So basically,
that was like the
in
passing
Lost in,
the baton.
Lost in Mulberry. Let's get back on track, Bill. Lost in Mulberry. It's got Brittany, Carl Monday. Basically, if you listen to Nora Mulberry for a long time, you'll get these jokes. If you've never listened to her show before, you're totally going to be in the dark, man. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Let's check out Lost in Mulberry 11 and see what the hell's going on. It's crazy. Oh, and Eddie Deason is Doctor Who.
Huh?
Whoa, she bit me.
Huh?
Maybe someone should call him a doctor.
Death is certain, but only after tortured madness.
How long before this Britney bite affects my mind and drives me crazy?
Hours, days, depending on your strength.
Please, Baron, don't let this washed-up entertainer destroy my career. End it now. Tricked you, Baron!
What's Mick doing?
Looks like he's trying to tear the Baron's face off. He's wearing a mask.
Now to find out who he really is.
Baron Von Butcher?
Get out of here and stay out!
He must have been brainwashed by you, Boll, too. But I thought they had escaped in episode 6.
I'll use this pipe wrench to snap him out of it.
Got good clank, Krito.
Baron, you're back. Were you captured by Darth Jonathan?
Someday he'll pay for that!
He must have fallen into Darth Jonathan's clutches. Look at his hair!
Tell us how he got to you, Baron, using a flashback.
Excellent, yeah.
Solid.
It's Darth Jonathan, and he's given Baron a haircut.
Take some off the top, I don't like long hair.
Silky dirt, dude.
Yeah, utterly fascinating, and pretty good, too.
Baron's totally distracted.
Chunk, fuck.
Look!
That's when Darth Jonathan slipped the Silver Shamrock mind control mask over the Baron's head. Stop the flashback! I'm ready to kick that little monkey's ass!
Come in, guys. Over?
Hold on, Bill. Steven's trying to reach us. Steven, can you hear me?
I just wanted to warn you that U-Bowl has an alarm device hidden in the Baron's mask. When you remove the mask, it alerted him to your presence.
This changes everything. We've totally lost the element of surprise.
Ah, let's throw caution to the wind.
Calm down, Doc. We all want to stop U-Bowl. But don't you think just rushing him will lead us into another trap?
Yeah, well, I'll admit I got a little bit of a temper.
He's unleashed a new weapon in the forest, codenamed J2. It's another super soldier creation. He requisitioned it from Cyber Dianetic Labs.
Baron, you've been on this island a while. Do you know a way to get us to the secret volcano base quicker?
We will go check the map. It will tell us the whole story.
Look, this map shows a footbridge just over this ravine. Let's get going.
Krinto, do you hear what I hear?
Whatever that J2 is, it sure sounds big.
Thanks for the warning, Steven. We'll check back after we've gotten over the bridge.
Be careful, guys. That footbridge was handmade by Joseph Smith, and his carpentry is as reliable as his profiteering.
Hurry up, Doc!
Phew. We're all at the footbridge. It does look rickety.
Great Scott! It's going over a river of lava!
I'll have Eugene Bot run a scan on the bridge to see if it's structurally sound.
This doesn't compute.
Come on, Eugene Bot. Don't you want Vanessa to be your companion?
Shut up, Fredo.
I say we kick this Inara loving weather bot into the lava.
Community now.
Stand back, everybody. I'm going across.
I'm going to ask you one more time to smarten up and do the right thing.
Ed, we've been through a lot. This is something I have to do for all of us. If I don't come back, well, you know.
Yeah, likewise, I'm sure. Yeah, well, no hard feelings.
All right, then, here I go. Oh, man. This bridge is weaker than Charles Bronson resisting the urge to shoot the Giggler.
Look out, Bill! The bridge is collapsing!
Ah! Phew, he just made it to the other side.
Hey, Bill, you alright?
That was a close one. A little too close. Damn you, Joseph Smith, and your Masonic voodoo. Wait, guys! I think I see an opening in the jungle up ahead. You know, it could be the path to the cave that Baron von Chip showed us up on the map.
We need to get over to that side if we're going to rescue Vanessa and save the world.
Look out behind you, Bill! It's the J2!
It's a Dianetically enhanced Judge Judy! She must be 20 feet tall and layered with knives and stabbing weapons!
You guys better get over here. I can't beat this loudmouth harpy by myself.
I will kill you. Get a life, you know, get a real job.
I have an idea, Eddie. I mean, Doctor Who. Call the TARDIS over here so we can cross the lava river. I think the battery must have recharged a little by now.
Okay, I will.
I don't know how we could have overlooked that solution.
Gee, I don't know how you could have overlooked it either.
Everybody inside!
Take this, you better than thou windbag.
Not only are you not a very nice person, you're also a slob.
She's got me by the throat!
Whoa! Something is messing up her circuitry, keeping her from crushing me. It's the fresh sliced deli meat I have in my pocket.
That's baloney.
No.
Baloney is like her kryptonite. It's a good thing I hadn't eaten lunch yet.
Anything else?
Yeah. I also found this coupon for the Waffle House. I got it after smacking Kid Rocker out after he looked at me funny.
What a cow pile!
Outrageous!
Hey, I just looked out the window. We just crossed the river. Let's get out there and help Bill.
What do you say, gang? Gee whiz, golly!
Hold on, Jaystrom. I found these devices in the back room of the TARDIS. They're labeled GB and Property of Egon.
They look like backpacks with some anti-ghost blasters. Here, I used my reverse E-meter to reconfigure them with a Thetan destroyer beam.
There's a note inside. It says, warning, do not cross the streams.
Let's boogie!
She's got Bill in her clutches. She looks disoriented.
Looks like Bill's hoarding a stack of baloney.
Why was he carrying around baloney in his pockets?
Who knows? He always has his pockets jammed with it. Freak.
Hurry up, guys! The baloney is distracting her, but it's almost gone!
Quit eating it!
But we missed lunch, and it's so tasty!
Stand back, guys. Let's blast with these anti-thetan beams.
Would you be looking to me?
You're irritating me. I kill you.
The beams are having very little effect.
I don't think I'm finished torturing you yet.
Hurry up, guys. The baloney's almost gone and she's looking hungry.
I eat morons like you up for breakfast.
Cross the streams now.
It doesn't make sense. Come on.
Whoa, she fell apart quicker than Marie Osmond pontificating about the California brush fires on Dancing with the Stars.
Hey, that's my girlfriend.
Oh, sorry, Eddie. I know she can cut a rug.
She's a swell-looking tomato.
Yeah, swelled is the word, all right.
Look, guys, there's the secret cave entrance. J2 must have been guarding it.
Let's check it out.
Sure is dark in this cave tunnel.
I haven't been this blind since I watched Rosie O'Donnell's sex scene in Car 54, the movie.
Aw, oh, that's so gross. Wait, up ahead. There's a purplish glowing light.
I'll be back.
Wait, Eddie! Don't be a hero!
No time to make a plan now. We better get after the little guy. Holy cow, Dr. Jones! The purple light is coming from a huge gem in the center of this giant cavern.
It's a dark crystal.
Game over, man.
Guys, I don't think we're alone.
Chamberlain!
Wow. Man, the amount of work that probably went into that is insane.
I know, that's crazy.
And may I compliment both of you on your voice acting. Good job.
God, it was so bad.
He was being choked.
Yeah, Bill, I believed you were being choked by a Judge Judy robot.
Yes. So. Now, not by myself.
Vanessa, I believe you're going to be in the next one, so be ready to do your lines, okay?
Okay.
So, I want to thank...
so excited.
Yes.
I want to thank Mick and Credo for that, and let's go ahead and get into entertainment! All right, we have Cloverfield coming out next week. We probably won't be able to see it before the show to talk about it, but I'm definitely going to see it on, like, Saturday.
Yeah.
And get motion sickness from the shaky cam. But, no, I'm kidding. I actually, shaky cam doesn't really bother me, so. Don't you hate the people
that,
like,
bug me? Like, when Blair Witch came out, everybody's like, I got nauseous.
Yeah, well, that maybe, but, like, Paul Greengrass, it doesn't bother me. But maybe Blair Witch type would, like Handycam.
Yeah, but that was camcorder stuff. That tends to blur with
this,
that.
If you see clips of it, they almost show you how good visually it looks. It doesn't look like a crappy Handycam.
No, not at all.
Footage looks pretty decent. But besides that, In the Name of the King has come out. The new Uwe Boll movie. And it's and it's 6% rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. So,
but you're forgetting that it's subtitled A Dungeon Siege Tale.
Yeah, whatever that even means. Can't wait to see.
Well, Dungeon Siege was an old PC game.
Yeah, I have it. I got it free from work. It's okay.
Hello.
Hey, Mick, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you for the new Lost in Mulberry. I'm sure a lot of work went into it.
There's a few minutes.
A few minutes. A couple hours.
A
couple months.
So tell us, will Vanessa be on the next Lost in Mulberry?
Yes, I've got big plans for her.
You said I was going to be on this one.
sounds kinky.
All right, well, we're pressed for time.
I've got big plans for her.
Mick, would you like to stick around with us for a bit?
Sure, I'll stick around for a minute.
All right, let's do it. What's on our TiVo, by the way? Good times. So everyone knows that Brittany is totally, like, having problems, right? And it looks like her mom, whatever her name is having problems also with the sister who's knocked up. So she decided to have Dr. Phil intervene. Basically, Dr. Phil is kind of a jerk or whatever because he went public with what he did instead of just staying it within the family. My question is this. Why ask a guy who's on TV to do this?
Exactly.
Well, you know, Doctor, let's get right to it because this is about Dr. Phil and his relationship with the family and the comments he has made. On Saturday, he did meet with Brittany in the hospital, and after that, he released the following statement. He said, "My meeting with Brittany and some of her family members this morning in her room at Cedars leaves me convinced more than ever that she is in dire need of both medical and psychological intervention." What is wrong with Dr. Phil's statement in the family's estimation?
Well, what's wrong with Dr. Phil's statement is that he made a statement. The family basically extended an invitation of trust for him to come in as a resource to support them, not to go out and make public statements. Any statement publicly that he made, because he was brought in under this cloak of trust, are just inappropriate. So,
trust.
We feel like to set the record straight
we all have
that
a cloak
we need
of
to
trust
say
here
that.
On the show, don't we? So, what do you think? Should she have just gotten us a real, like, doctor instead of...
Well, if they wanted him to keep it quiet, they said, hey, you know, pull him aside. Look, don't make any mention of this.
Now, Brittany, you've got a lot of problems, honey.
They should have just strapped her down and shocked her testicles.
She did. I mean, I know she has a lot of problems and stuff, but I don't think Dr. Phil is going to help her. Now, Brittany...
Dr. Phil has a PhD in, like... physical science.
He has a PhD in bullshit.
Yeah, he's not even a psychiatrist. I think he's
psychologist. But come on, didn't you know that psychiatry is not real? Tom Cruise says so.
Oh, that's true.
That is true.
Brittany's just jealous of Dr. Phil because he has more hair.
Oh, that was tough.
No, she's got that blonde hair. You mean that's not hers?
Huh?
Yeah, I wonder if that weave of hers is... getting any longer.
What do you mean by that?
Uh-oh.
It's a pseudoscience.
See?
You've brought on the wrath of Tom Cruise, Scientological arguments of Scientology and psychiatry.
Speaking of Scientologists, Extreme Makeover Home Edition with that Thai guy who does his own tools or whatever and has a stupid soul patch.
Who's his own tool?
Well, I had to bring this show up just because of what was going on in the show. Because you know what happens is they usually, these unfortunate families lose their home or some shit like that. And they got to build them a new house and it's real awesome. And they have like...
It's like two poor people living with 15 kids that aren't even theirs.
Yeah, they give a kid a race car bed or something like that. Or a spinning hammock. Yeah. Ooh, you know.
I'm always like, why am I giving this kid a theme room? What the hell is wrong with you?
Just give me a room. And pay my parents' mortgage so we don't have to cry every night as we eat our
spam
leather boot stew, okay?
Or ramen noodle soup.
Yeah. So what I want to talk, why I'm playing this, why we're even talking about this, is what they did this week, and it's just ridiculous. Just listen to it, okay?
This is kind of crazy because we've never done this before, but before we can take this house down, we got to talk to the ghosts and find out if they're cool with it. And Jeffrey is a psychic intuitive, otherwise known as a medium. And before I can even finish my sentence, he already starts feeling the presence of ghosts. And I'm looking at Polly like, how is this possible? Listening to these spirits
into Ty's
talk
chest
to Jeffrey
his heart out.
Was one of the weirdest experiences I've ever gone through. Things happened that I can't explain.
Yes.
My camera stopped working.
You're kidding.
Welcome to my world.
It won't let me shoot over here.
Yeah, welcome to my world.
Are we okay with doing demo?
Yes. I would go ahead with demo, but as long as you do it his way and you bring and incorporate the two worlds together, I'm sure it'll be fine.
The more we communicated, the more Augustus warmed up to the idea of us actually tearing down their old house.
All you gotta do is explain to the ghost that he's getting a new house.
I think we got a thumbs up and okay.
Get out of here.
Christmas coming soon. Molly
I'll even
Ringwald.
Make you a theme room, Ghosty.
Ooh, Molly Ringwald
the race car bed.
Yeah, that's what I love is he said, and we got a thumbs up. So they hired this guy. This guy got paid to walk through the house and go, okay, guys, I'm feeling something. Oh, my camera just turned off, guys. I'm not gonna show it to you guys turning off, but yeah, it did. I'm gonna just stick it in my pocket real quick. I don't know what you're talking about, Steven. I'm sorry. Just talk out loud. I can't read lips. No. I don't know what you're talking about.
Go ahead.
So Steven's trying to tell me something, but it's always, Steven, what were you trying to tell me?
That's okay.
Come on, tell me. I want to know. Now, this week, Trump made the rounds plugging Celebrity Apprentice, and he was on Letterman, and of course he had to talk about Big Fat Dumb Rosie. Let's check it out.
I have great respect
for Rosie. Doesn't have great respect for you. She doesn't like you.
Now, how are you with Rosie? Is that coming or
no,
going?
Well, no, I don't like Rosie much.
But now you won't think less of me if I do like her. I'm extending
no,
it. I'm trying
mind.
To hand an olive
mind.
Branch to Rosie.
I don't think you need to. She's no longer on television.
Yeah, but but it's a new year. And I just love to make people happy.
Well, I think that's good. She needs happiness, believe me.
All right.
Where she grabbed her.
Oh, my God. I missed that. So, also, we have the. Steven's just totally
tossing.
Missing the show. No, but also, he was on Conan. And, of course, he was out of his Rosie stuff, but he decided to talk crap about Angelina Jolie.
I think she's a pretty woman, but I don't think she's a great beauty by any stretch of the imagination. I've always felt that. But I watched her with Billy Bob, and I watched her Frenching Billy Bob during the Academy Awards. I watched her Frenching her brother, which was a little bit worse than even Billy Bob. And now she's a representative of the United Nations. She certainly has. One thing I will say, nobody
is
getting herself into trouble all over again.
No.
Nobody has done a transformation better than her. She goes from kissing her brother in the mouth, on the lips, and on the tongue, which somehow, you know, I have sisters. I can't do that to them, okay? And she goes to all the...
If my sister was Angelina Jolie, I would kiss her on the mouth.
But
I would have no shame. I would high-five everyone around me afterwards. Just kiss my sister.
But it is true. I mean, some people consider her very beautiful. I mean, it's not my taste at all.
Yeah, I think Trump, he likes the foreign women who then take all of his money when they get divorced.
He likes, I'm sure he was talking about Keira Knightley, too. He really likes her on
Donald, I need some shopping money.
The sexiest tomboy beanpole around.
Now, you guys all know what the biggest loser is, right? It's fat people are competing for whoever loses the most weight, and then they're the biggest fat loser. But if you say it wrong, you're biggest fat loser. No, they're the biggest fat, loser. They lost a lot of fat. They're not fat losers. So anyway, on this clip, it's hilarious. This big fat lady's running on the treadmill and she falls off. So not only that, but she falls with her chin right on the treadmill. Aww. And it's like going, like, let's check it out. It's genius.
Beautiful. 5, 4, 3
Mom and I were on the treadmills right next to each other, and Jillian was like working us out crazy. Next thing I know, my mom is like eating the treadmill.
You okay, Mama?
She was hungry.
It was really scary.
Everybody relax. Right.
I think I lost concentration for a second or something, because the next thing I knew, I was like crunched down at the bottom on the floor, and my hands are kind of under the treadmill, you know, grinding. I think I just lost myself for a moment.
It's good that we finish this knowing that you can. Betty Sue never ceases to amaze me. She, you know, falls down the treadmill and gets right back on and finishes out her exercise routine.
You are so extraordinarily resilient.
She's just really incredible.
You mean she fell down?
She got back up.
And she got back up.
That's so bad.
She's a resilient person. What's she going to do? Lay on the ground the rest of her life? Of course you're going to stand back up when you fall down.
She was going to eat the rest of the treadmill.
Hey, do I get a medal every time I get back up? Hey, Jason, good job. You fell on the floor, but you got back up.
You're so resilient.
It's like, no, I got to get up off the floor, don't I? And what, am I going to stay here?
That's such resiliency. I'm going to wallow in my embarrassment and stay on the floor. Thank you.
I want to thank
Life Alert bracelet.
I want to thank Mick for joining us. I had to let him go. We're just having bandwidth issues, but let's go ahead. Sorry, Mick. But
hey, it's just the way this computer trying to talk to us, like, oh, what?
So, guys, what do you think?
He doesn't even know he's been dropped. He's still talking, probably. So, seriously, we're just having issues tonight. This is our 107th show. We've learned to deal with it, right?
Yes.
We just do it live, also.
We got to get a whole new studio.
Yeah.
There's nothing new here.
Yeah. We're in Mulberry. What are you going to do? Now, the Celebrity Apprentice, it's the Men Against the Women, as we talked about last week. They're doing some commercial for a dog charity, right? And the women have this genius idea of having the dogs. I thought theirs was so bad, of the dog going, you know, I used to have a family.
Yes, I thought it was retarded.
But the little girl, she kept sneezing, so I had to leave. You know, just stuff like that. And they show the poor dog. But I love the other one with the, what's the boxing guy's name? The
Lennox Lewis. Lewis, yeah.
Yeah, Lennox Lewis, and he's like petting a dog and cuddling with it. Oh, look at that big guy. He's just a teddy bear. And it was funny. But, you know, the most hilarious thing about the show continues to be Gene Simmons, because the way he acts is just ridiculous. Let's check out this. Basically, he gave Ivanka a hard time because she's a woman. And it's just kind of funny. It was the only entertaining thing to happen on the show, wasn't it?
Being the female of the species yourself does not mean that you are going to be talking to your sisters about what we talked about.
To the women, because I'm a woman.
Yes.
No, I have no interest in doing that.
That was so funny because you can hear the other guys and, oh, God, Gene, what are you talking about?
Being, what a way to address it, being of the species of... what in the hell?
What I love about that is that he says that and he completely means it. Like, are you going to go run to the other women to tell
them? Oh, absolutely.
She's barely been in the room long enough to hear your idea. What the hell is she going to tell them if she was going to do that? And, of course, she was like, oh, that was a huge
probably
mistake.
Not a strategically intelligent thing to do, as I found it rather rude. You asked me also when I was leaving if I was going to go and tell the female, because of some sort of sisterhood bond, what you had been doing, what you had been working on, and what your general strategy
was. Who said that to you, Gene?
Gene,
did you insult my daughter?
Huh? What did I say to you?
Nobody insults my daughter.
You said she'd wait.
Omarosa, what do you think of Gene's disrespect for Ivanka?
It wasn't just the disrespect. He questioned your integrity.
Oh, nice.
And that, to me, is the most offensive part of what he did.
It was just unnecessary. I mean, you could have almost said nothing.
You're absolutely right. So I sincerely apologize.
I appreciate
for
that.
Any short-sightedness I may have had.
His short-sightedness was that he didn't know it might affect the outcome of the task.
His short-sightedness is that he's a raving ass.
he's
hilarious, though.
He's got a lot of ego issues, I guess.
But. And he's exactly the same on his own show on A&E, yeah. Which I will watch sometimes. It's entertaining.
It is.
He's a character.
His son has the same sense of humor, too, so it's funny to watch them together.
What I think is weird about this show, or I guess not weird, it's just funny that how the women end up turning on somebody who just didn't, like, are you serious? They got rid of Nadia because she didn't get lunch on time or whatever. Shouldn't it have been Mary Lou Henner that got kicked off for her crappy narration?
Yeah, that's what he was saying. He was trying to, he was wondering why she wasn't in there.
Like, why did you bring Carol Alt? But poor Nadia, of course, you know, not just celebrities, but regular people, the people who are quiet and don't defend themselves usually get kicked off first.
Exactly. Right. He likes to fight.
Or the people that, won't fight for themselves. You know, it's not that they don't. They just sit there with this blank stare, and then whenever Trump asks them something, they're like, yeah. And that's it. That's your nail in the coffin right there.
Yeah, the thing that Omarosa knows how to do is to point, go, well, they didn't do a good job. She wasn't even on the firing line this week, so.
Well, she knows how to deflect the attention off of her so somebody else will get pissed off. Or,
yeah, and she knows when to bring the attention to her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I liked how Stephen Baldwin, he pretty much just took over him and Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
But the thing, it was so funny
when
they had...
Stephen Baldwin has God on his side.
That is true. But they decided to have Lennox Lewis walking down the street with a dog. And it was just like, they were trying to hold people up. Okay, people, hold up here. I thought that was hilarious. Just really naive, the stuff they were trying to do. And what did Stephen Baldwin say? Like, I've been an actor in movies for 15 years. Oh, yeah? What was the latest one you did, huh? Yeah. Was it a sci-fi original movie, buddy?
Yeah.
Anaconda or something.
He was in some sci-fi snake movie.
Yeah, he was.
That's awesome.
He's been in so many direct-to-video stuff, it's ridiculous.
I think he was wishing he was in Mega Snake, but...
yeah.
Who doesn't? I wish I was in Mega Snake.
Oh, nice.
Gene Simmons is just genius. Okay, let's talk about Wife Swap.
Love the
Quite possibly one of the funniest episodes I've ever watched.
Wife Swap. They had the drill instructor parents, the ones that are super clean, and they have a whistle to boss the kids around. I really felt sorry for these kids.
I did, too.
The one, the kid, the son, he was... I think he had mental retardation. I'm honest.
I think he was
a little slow.
He was just so beaten down. It's like you're afraid to make decisions anymore.
Yeah, he was afraid. He couldn't think for himself.
Because they would make them do, what was it, run laps or do push-ups or something?
Yard drills.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I think the kid had a schizoembolism. He was looking for Quato.
Yeah, I think I would run away. Seriously.
Open your mind.
Because I'm a clean person, but also at the same time, especially after you have a kid, you know when to let things go. Let them play, let them make a mess, then clean it up or whatever. But this whole, do your chores before you can have fun, do the cleaning before you can have fun. These people are just out of control. And that's what's funny about the show is, of course, they bring the opposite, the real messy family. And don't get me wrong, I did think the messy dad was an asshole.
He was.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
a total jerk.
Well, but the clean mom, it was so hypocritical of her to be like, I take pride in the way I look. And it's like, honey, you are a mess.
Yeah.
It just,
you don't be looking good.
You're an obese Tammy Faye Baker lookalike.
Yeah.
As long as my house looks good, I can look like a big fatty.
Well, that's what it's like the last – I'm sure you guys talked about it, but last week how they had the pageant daughter, how they're like, you should take pride in the way you look. And this was the ugliest couple I had ever seen dressed from the 1970s.
So I guess what – if you're anal retentive and stuff, it's okay to be overweight and be unhealthy and not eat right as long as your house looks immaculate.
Absolutely.
Ah, gotcha. It's a trade-off.
That's the rules I follow.
So,
as my ass expands, my house is immaculate.
I did genuinely like the lady, the messy lady who went to go live in the drill instructor's house. She was genuinely nice. The first thing she did was notice that the kids were miserable and try to make them happy. She wasn't like selfish or anything, but the other guy's like, get off your ass. Did you like she was sleeping late in bed? He went in there with a whistle and she was like, are you kidding me with the whistle?
But I think this is a big mistake a lot of the parents make, the mothers, they come in, is they try to make it such a drastic rule change, like the exact opposite, where she shouldn't have said no chores at all for the kids. Maybe she should have said, all right, Dad, you're going to share with the chores or something. But when they say the exact opposite, it pisses the parents off.
Yeah, first thing we're going to do is get rid of the whistle and stop yelling at your kids like a drill sergeant. They're kids.
I'm going to shut this Whipple up your ass.
Whipple?
You get in there and clean that head, boy. It's like, what?
Whipple. Don't squeeze the Charmin.
Whipple.
Private Pile.
You Sasquatch.
And the part where the mom and dad held the boy down on his bed while the little girl had the bar of soap and the towel, that was horrible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because he didn't do the dishes
no
right.
No kid should experience that.
The code red. You go do a code red on your brother right now.
It was really unfortunate that he asphyxiated.
So let's go ahead and check out the scene when the dad comes home. This is after they let the moms change the rules. Like, you have to do it, she says. And she's like, there's no chores or anything. So he comes home from his hard day at work. The house is a mess, damn it. I ain't putting up with that. Let's check it out.
At the Oris house, Terry is back from work, unaware of the mess that awaits him.
This is sickening. Look at this place. You told me you were going to get it cleaned up.
We didn't have time.
I don't want to hear about time. No. This is your mess. Get off your lazy and go do something.
No, it's still my rule.
To hell with your rules. I'm feeling pissed.
Terry.
I don't want to hear it.
But don't you want to hear about how much fun the kids had today?
I can give two less about how much the kids had fun today. You could have fun and be clean about it. You can clean up after your messes. I worked all day.
But don't you ever stop to smell the roses, even if the roses are dirty?
What?
I ain't never saw a rose that was dirty.
That's kind of beautiful in a way.
Because they don't grow in the dirt.
Well, they come from the dirt, but once they grow up out of the dirt, they're clean.
He never saw a rose. That's like a haiku, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Very poetic.
In fact, I think Poison should do a song.
A rose.
The rain.
That was
the
dirty.
Rain is falling.
Ain't you ever stopped and smell the roses?
I ain't never stopped and smell the rose before.
I love
it. I smell dirty roses all the time. But
men love to come home from work and say, "I've been working all day."
Yeah.
It's like, kiss my ass.
Oh, that one does.
Yeah, that guy's a genius.
Where's my dinner, bitch?
So anyway, you guys should be proud of me. I watched Wife Swap.
Yeah, but the best part was the other family, the husband of the nice, dirty wife was just one of those really irritating guys that never grew up. It was like he was still in high school.
Yeah. He would get his ketchup on his shirt.
They were having food fights in the kitchen with the kids.
He idolized Bluto from Animal House. Yes.
He really did. And then he starts arguing with the clean wife, and then he out of nowhere he whips out, "Why are you demeaning me?"
No, demeanoring. That's what it was.
The other guy would say, call her a Sasquatch.
It was the same guy. He called her, "You fat Sasquatch."
Yeah. I was like, that's genius because.
That's your new name, Sasquatch.
I jokingly called Sasquatch Mountain Sasquatch Mountain. So when he said that, I was like, hey, that just the word Sasquatch sounds better mispronounced, doesn't it? Sasquatch!
Yeah, it does. Sasquatch.
We need
it's
to make
so
us,
much. It's got more character.
We need to make a redneck Sasquatch movie.
Sasquatch,
but it's pronounced Sasquatch. Sasquatch the movie.
Isn't there the term of looking for Sasquatches? It's called squatching or something.
I have no idea.
There was a guy that worked for ZDTV before it became
Squatch Hunters.
Tech TV called Squatch Hunters. His name was Scott Harriet.
Dude, we could do
I
that.
I like
for,
that, Squatch Hunters.
Yeah, instead of Ghost Hunters, we do a show called Squatch Hunters. We all have our dart guns ready to shoot something.
They're really, truly, not far from here, probably about 4 hours from here, is a major Sasquatch hunting ground.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Dude, oh, we need
a Sasquatch. Do they make sauces?
It's up in Oklahoma.
Do you go there to squatch?
It's up in Oklahoma.
We're squatching today, honey.
We need to get a hold of Scott Harriet and say we're going squatching. Want to shoot a new movie?
Totally.
Let's go squatching.
We could get the guys who did that LARPing movie.
Hey, actually, you could get Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah, we could.
Oh, totally.
He's been in the film business for 15 years.
Yeah, see?
And there he wrote a book called The Unusual Suspect. Get it?
Wow. That whole intro intro where they show Mary Lou Henner in front of the cab, it's just sad, isn't it? It's like, why don't they show her next to a Johnny Dangerously poster or something?
Yeah, what has she done since?
Okay, guys.
She had her talk show.
Yeah, you're right. Along with
she's
Tony
on QVC
Danza.
Like every other week.
Yeah, she's got stuff going on. Now, did anyone...
And she hosts a ballroom dancing thing on PBS sometimes.
Awesome. Did anyone watch Project Runway? It's a genius show. It's got the guy... His name is Christian.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Oh,
yes.
God.
And Vanessa, we kind of guessed that he's gay. We're not sure, but we think he's gay.
The gaydar is peeking in his direction.
So let's check out this. Basically, the thing was they needed to make a dress with students in young kids.
Prom dress style.
Yeah, prom dresses. And Christian had this little girl, and he was working with her. And since he's a little girl, too, let's see how they got along.
I've been doing fashion design for 2 years.
Oh, really? Awesome. I met my fabulous client, Maddie. First thing she told me was that she's a designer. What if we did?
No,
this would all be lace.
I know this is gonna sound difficult, but like a little train coming out here. These are good pleats.
You know, she's so cute, but she has some strong opinions. She got that pencil right out and started sketching on my paper, and I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, so what colors do you like?
So light brown and maybe gold. For some reason, I want a lace in the back.
Okay. You don't want to put too much stuff. I know you do.
You're killing me.
And she wanted so much tacky stuff. She wanted gold and black and white and lace and... Ugh. Now once I start, no more changing.
You think I'm going to change?
I was very scared.
So, Vanessa, I want to get your reaction. Is he gay?
Oh, no way. Completely straight. A wife.
I want to know if they were in Italy or not. What the hell was with that music?
I think they're in a pizzeria or something. Just the way he said lace is just...
This would all be lace.
I mean, lace.
This would all be lace.
You know what it is? It sounds like there's actual effort going into him talking.
Yeah, he's like trying.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's great.
Gold and black and white and lace and
See what I mean? The effort in that.
He's like
he was tired by the end by the time he was done putting those words together.
He's like doing like super femme as much as he can.
He sounds more feminine than me.
But, well, that's not hard to do.
Oh, whatever, bite me.
Oh, whatever, bite me, huh?
Look at the yams
No.
Let's scratch ourselves.
Huh? Grandpa. Oh.
That's why sports.
I'm feeling pissed.
Door.
This is sickening.
Yes, I agree. Now, let's quickly, we have about 5 minutes till our break, Bill. Friday Night Lights last week was genius. Was great.
Very good.
Riggins living with the Taylor family is awesome. I think it's a great storyline.
Riggins is just, God, the poor guy. He, you know, his friend becomes disabled. He screws his friend's girlfriend. And then he comes a drunken lout. He hooks up with his next door neighbor. Now his brother's screwing her. He can't get a break.
Yeah, and now he's living, and he goes to live with this meth guy, yeah. The meth lab.
Meth lab guy.
And the Airstream meth lab.
And he holds a gun to his head. The best part about this is he's chilling out there, and they go to watch a video. It's Tammy, it's the mom, the sister, and Julie all in the living room, and she hits play on the VCR, and he left a porno in the VCR. He's like, oh, my bad, girls. And he's like, and you can see the mom is just like, oh my God,
he's been
jerking in the living room. Yeah, that's what that means. When they're not home, he's watching porn on their television.
And has his pants down around his ankles on their couch.
And I also, he goes to the fridge and he like pulls a beer out. And she goes, what are you doing? He's like, oh, my bad. And she's like, you're not going to drink beer in front of me. Come on. And then he's like offering the sister, I'll pay you $50 to do my paper for me. She's like, I'm in the room. I love the whole dynamic of him there in their family. I thought it was great.
I totally thought that he was going to do the naughty with the sister.
You know, I could see it happen. Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him because we've seen him be with an older lady with a kid before.
That was such a tough break with the end. He's trying to help Julie. She's drunk out of her mind.
Oh, and I love that. She's getting drunk at a party, and this guy's like kissing on her and stuff, and she's too drunk to know what's going on. And Riggins, he doesn't go, hey, man, leave her alone. He goes, hey, how's it going with that girl over there? He goes, oh, man, you know. She's just right, man. I'm about to, get after it or whatever. He goes, hey, let me tell you something. You go anywhere near her or you touch her ever again, I will end you. All right? He's like, oh, okay. But I love how at first he says, hey, how's it going with that girl over there? Just to hear the guy say, brag that he's about to.
I love that the kid went walking back towards Julie and he went, hey. Other way.
He goes, no, I'm
serious. He made him walk through the other way.
And I'm pretty sure that guy probably went home after that. It's like, I'm going to get my ass kicked by Riggins.
I think he probably pissed himself.
So how much time we got yet, Bill? Are you watching the clock?
Yeah, we got about 3 minutes before the news break.
Sorry. The best thing is there's a tornado, and another school is having to stay at their high school, which would that ever happen in real life? Maybe it has happened before.
I've seen that happen before.
Yeah, it's happened before.
The problem is they're rival football teams, and they hate each other, and even the coach is a total dick to their coach. I think it's great. But the whole part where Landry's trying to talk to Tyra, and this lunkhead, musclehead guy asks Tyra to the dance – And I love that with all this tension that's built up, the football players, they're staying away from each other. They want to kick each other asses. And it's Landry who starts the big brawl. Yeah. He's just like, can't had enough of that guy, so he decks him. He's like, man, what are you talking to this geek for, this nerd? He's like,
hey, if I had a girl that was as hot as Tyra is, I would be very protective.
I think I would risk getting my ass kicked.
And you know what? He needed to punch Tyra for being the bitch that she's being.
Well,
I don't want to be seen with you, you know.
See, I don't think that's the way it is, though. I don't think she's a bitch. I think her problem is she's been so beaten down by her mom to not expect anything good to happen to you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There are so many girls like that. I could even say my three sisters, except, well, no, I would say
my third sister
is married to a really nice guy.
I honestly don't think it's their fault. I think that the way that you are brought up, you're beaten down, you see your mom with these horrible guys, you don't expect a good guy to come along, and when he does, you wonder what his ulterior motives are when he probably doesn't even have any. So
all he wants is sex and to leave.
I think it's wrong to call her a bitch because I love Tyra. So I think that
I love her in different ways.
See, you're one of those other guys. You're the bad guy. Yeah.
Ulterior motive guy.
Yes, I've got it. I've got an ulterior motive. All right.
You're like that football player guy. Boo.
Hey, baby, what's happening?
Let's go ahead and take a break. Let's do it. Be right back, guys.
Hey, Talk Radio X listeners, this is Mulberry Bill from Nowhere in Mulberry. Tune in to Nowhere in Mulberry every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific to hear the Chase Drum, Steven, the pop culture seller, Vanessa the News Girl, and me, Mulberry Bill, discuss the latest in TV, movies, and geek and pop culture.
Awesome! I didn't get to hear the news break. How was it?
Oh, it was hard-hitting.
It made it sound like we're on a real radio station. All right, let's do the news!
Yeah, we just did the news.
Oh, yeah. No need to do the news.
Yeah, cut that music.
She is in dire need of both medical and psychological intervention.
All right, Vanessa, what do we got in the news this week?
All right, in Berlin, a man and a woman in Germany lost their jobs after pretending to be on a training course while actually taking an S&M sex holiday at their employer's expense.
Nice.
The pair, who worked at Dortmund Retirement Home, said they had been at a further education seminar in eastern Germany for which their employer duly paid, but after a tip-off, the home found out the middle-aged couple had actually taken a holiday apartment used by devotees of sadomasochistic sex near the Dutch border.
Oh, they also watch Uwe Boll films.
That's pure torture. When the couple denied they had skipped the seminar, their employers took them to court. The pair agreed to resign when it found out that the training course had actually never even taken place.
Wow.
I just got a message, I think, from Antibert that says, "We will conform to the news."
All right, in Louisiana, a 265-pound man says a restaurant overcharged him for his trips to the buffet, then banned him and a relative because of how much they ate during their visits.
I hate to stop you.
Yeah, we did the story last week.
We did this story last week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You weren't here.
All right.
The female of the species yourself.
I think we all decided that he's a little chubster and needs to pay a little extra for his meal. If you're going to eat more, pay more, chubby.
They're called all you can eat for a reason, though.
Yeah, but if it's all you can eat, I think you should go in and you pay depending on how much you weigh.
Well,
you can eat as much as you want. But if you step on the scale and it reaches a certain amount, it's that's how much you have to pay.
You know what? As many bad buffets as I've been to, they owe you money back when you're leaving.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. The only buffet I've ever been to that's been any good was like a real Mongolian barbecue place. And even then, it's not really a buffet. It's just that type of style.
Right.
Well, one buffet up the street, they charge you, they weigh your plate. And it's however, that's how they do it, by the pound.
Instead of weighing your ass, they weigh your plate.
I've never heard of that. That's weird.
Yeah, there's one. I think it's a hometown buffet that weighs your plate here in Ohio.
All right. In Warsaw, a Polish man got the shock of his life when he visited a brothel and spotted his wife among the establishment's employees.
Uh-oh.
Bitch!
Frenching Billy Bob.
You told me to get
what
a job.
What you doing?
I gotta keep my pimp hand strong!
The tabloid paper said the woman had been making some extra money on the side while telling her husband she worked at a store in a nearby town.
Oh, nice.
So he goes to the brothel, and
his
wife is there. Yeah. What are you doing here at this brothel?
I was just bringing you lunch.
They need Dr. Phil.
I came to use the bathroom.
Now what you guys need to do...
I was dumbfounded. I thought I was dreaming, the husband told the paper Wednesday. The couple married for 14 years
are now
divorcing. Hey,
Vanessa, could you do the news in a British accent from now on?
Sure.
Yeah. That would make it much much more newsworthy.
Okay. A Polish man got the shock of his life. You got a spot of tea, Governor. That's all I can do.
That sounds like you have a ping pong ball in your mouth.
Sweep the chimney.
Yeah. The chimney sweep.
I am an antichrist. Oh, that's I'm sorry.
I am an antibert.
And speaking of, we were talking about the Dr. Phil thing.
Nice.
Well, Dr. Drew Pinsky chimed in on his opinion about it.
Oh, well, of course he did.
Yeah. Dr. Drew Pinsky, who many know from the Love Lines, has been very vocal in questioning the propriety of Dr. Phil's visit with Brittany while she was being held at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center.
That's because he wants to be the one that was called.
Yeah. My concern was, I don't know that Dr. Phil has a license in California, Drew told Access Hollywood. He's not on staff at Cedars either. Is he interfering with the care of another doctor's patient? I don't know. As for the rumors that Brittany's family plans on having her involuntarily committed, Dr. Drew said that is unlikely to happen. When a patient doesn't want help, there's sort of a fallacy that we can somehow intervene and make them get better, he said. It doesn't work like that. It has to come from within them.
She has to want to help herself.
Exactly.
That was not smart.
And Dr. Drew said, in order to help a person out, sometimes a family has to cut the person off. In other words, do tough love. So what we try to do is get the family actually to actively disengage with the patient. It is their dance with the patient that allows their disease to go on.
They need to dance with the patient?
Oh, okay.
Pretty polite. She's doing some bad dancing, according to the hustle. MTV show she was on.
But he says, believe me, her family is suffering just as much as she is because of, you know, everything that's going on.
Well, I bet you they wish they could time travel speed.
Well, it's different. They have to watch that jerk off Mark McGrath talk about, hey, this week Brittany, she ran over somebody's foot. She's crazy.
She just wants to fly. Hi,
worse. I feel like I've been missing out.
Here is the most pathetic man on earth. In Wisconsin, a man has been charged with sneaking into a toddler's bedroom and stealing $20 from his piggy bank while that her two-year-old slept.
You misunderstand. He's the tooth fairy.
He takes the money when you don't give him
teeth. You can have three of my teeth, huh? Oh, he was taken out alone.
By the looks of him, he doesn't have teeth.
He is the tooth fairy.
Authorities say DNA evidence linked Ryan A. Mueller, 30, of Sheboygan Falls to the crime.
Hi, Sheboygan.
Sheboygan.
Don't you know.
Authorities say the girl's mother was in another room with another child when she saw a light turn on in her two-year-old daughter's room. She walked into the girl's bedroom and saw a man shaking the piggy bank as the little girl slept.
Now back off and let me pee.
Yeah, that was Bubba. I can totally see Bubba doing that.
The man fled before the police could arrive, but they say blood was found on a window blind where he had forced his way into the home. He was charged Thursday with a felony burglary, which carries a penalty of up to 9.5 years in prison. And
nine and a half weeks. Sorry. Yeah,
you don't know. You don't even have.
Wouldn't you like to? The man fled before Carl Monday could arrive.
Hey, yeah, Bubba, let me just blindfold you here in front of the fridge, and I'm going to feed you things. Right. Here's a little chocolate.
Oh, that's delicious.
What about a little strawberry?
Bubba, let's have some sex relations in the rain in a stairwell. Hold on, I need to pee.
Get out.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Clark.
All right, Vanessa, what else we got?
Striking Hollywood writers said Friday that they had decided not to picket the Golden Globe Awards because, well, one, nobody watches it anyway, but organizers of Sunday's event changed it from an exclusive NBC broadcast to an event open to all media. The Writers Guild of America issued a brief statement saying it had given the Hollywood Foreign Press Association its assurance that writers would not protest outside the news conference where winners will be announced. The association announced the expanded media access earlier in the day, marking a reversal of NBC's intent to cover the strike-affected event exclusively for television. Now, I'm confused. Is that they're not striking because it's not only on television?
I think they're just striking because they want to strike at this point.
Well, did you guys see the People's Choice Awards?
It was awful.
The Critics' Choice Awards. Yeah. They were on VH1 so bad.
It was with Queen Latifah, and she's just standing in like a warehouse, like, oh,
yeah. Hey, with a bunch of awards on pedestals. So
and I saw her come on, and I went, dipitosity.
Yeah.
She was selling Pizza Hut pizzas.
That's awesome.
But the collapse of the Golden Globe ceremony is pretty much considered an ominous sign for the Academy Awards, which are scheduled to air February 24th on ABC. The Writers Guild refused to grant waivers for its members to work on the Oscars for the Globes. The Globe organizers were faced with a lack of star power after the Screen Actors Guild said it had encouraged its members to skip the show in support of the two-month walkout by the Writers Union.
At this point, the only people they're supporting by doing that is the AMPTP, the Producers Guild, because they're the only ones that are making it hard for the WGA to get their contracts. So yeah. I think at this point they should just do whatever they want to do and screw the AMPTP.
Exactly. Like if you make direct-to-video movies, say like Stephen Baldwin, do you have to worry about any union?
I don't think anyone even cares about what's going on.
Yeah, those have writers.
How is this going
to
affect?
I don't think you expect to get paid on those.
What about the Academy Awards? How's this going to affect that?
That's what they're talking about. Is it doesn't look good for the Academy Awards because
you know what? They'll pull all together for the Academy Awards because that's the big pomp and circumstance. Nobody wants to miss that.
Well, no, because they're talking about that. They're afraid – first, the Writers Guild wouldn't grant the waivers for them to write for the Oscars or the Globes. And now the Screen Actors Guild is encouraging its members to skip it.
Last year, we did a special Oscar show. How are we going to do that this year?
Yeah, a very short Oscar show.
Hey, they need to just get Queen Latifah again.
It'd be the first 30-minute Oscar show.
Are we going to do it live on Talk Radio X?
Yes, with news breaks.
Awesome.
But I'm just curious, if they don't have
a lot of
the nominees at the Academy Awards, what are they going to do if they don't show up?
You know what? They'll just release who won, and it'll be the year the Academy was silenced.
Wasn't there another year that the Academy Awards weren't held?
Oh, okay.
Probably, yeah.
I remember there was one year that it was 9/11, the year 9/11, 2001, or?
No. Not anytime recent.
I think that was the year of the Space Odyssey.
Oh, I bet it was during World War II. Probably during World War II.
So you confused 2001 with
1950.
I knew there was something with war. I just couldn't remember what it was, but
war. Dire need of both medical and psychological intervention.
All right, Vanessa, what else you got?
Imagine walking out to the parking lot and finding a pig fetus impaled on your antenna and smeared crawfish on the hood and windshield of your car.
Good Lord, man!
I'd be honored.
I'm trying to imagine when that hasn't happened to me.
Someone loves me enough to hate me this much.
Well, in Iowa, several members of a high school swim team were suspended after they did this to a rival school's parking lot cars. Roosevelt High School swim coach Steve Teeter said members of his team retaliated after Dowling Catholic High School swimmers lobbed snowballs at them at an earlier meet.
Kind of wow, snowballs, pig fetuses. It's quite a leap.
He says you could smell the formaldehyde from a block away. The pigs likely were stolen from a biology lab. Roosevelt principal Kathy Danielson said pig fetuses aren't labeled and the school doesn't keep inventory, so science teachers can't be sure they even came from Roosevelt. We certainly don't want issues with schools, and we want good relationships.
How do you not keep inventory on
inventory my pig fetuses?
Maybe they just deliver them in a barrel. You're like, assume there's about 20 in there or something.
Here's your pig fetuses. Who's going to sign for them?
Now, you know how you hear a lot of smokers complaining because of discrimination?
Yeah.
Now, here is the opposite. An owner of a small German computer company has fired 3 non-smoking workers because they were threatening to disturb the peace after they requested a smoke-free environment. The manager of the 10-person IT company named Thomas J. told the Morgan Post newspaper he had fired the trio because their non-smoking was causing disruptions. Germany introduced non-smoking rules in pubs and restaurants on January 1st, but Germans working in small offices are still allowed to smoke. I can't be bothered with troublemakers. We're on the phone all the time, and it's just easier to work while smoking. Everyone picks up
smoke. You should smoke, too.
It's time for revenge.
Maybe it should be like that, majority rules, you know?
Yeah. He says, I'm only going to hire smokers from now on. Which, of course, over here, that would cause a big stink.
Yeah. We only hire smokers because every few years they die and we can replace them.
He could say that if you don't like it, go move to America.
It really is getting ridiculous.
Go to Belgium, you non-smoker.
Well, I don't think anybody should be allowed to smoke indoors at any work environment. It should just
I agree with that.
It should
but
be
in
just
California,
go outside.
You can't even, going to a bar. I mean, you expect it at a bar, and now they can't even do that in bars? I mean, that's kind of stupid, but even in their cars now.
Go live with Aunt Hubert and use his bad Zippos.
Zippos.
But that's all I've got.
You know a girl. Kissy, kissy.
All right, Vanessa. Thanks for doing the news this week. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Not really, but we have to say that.
Too bad about the buffet story.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Gold and black and white and lace and... Ugh.
All right, Bill, you ready to do some DVDs? Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! 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 HD and Blu-ray extended definition! DVDs!
Oh, hell yes! Paramount's still back in HD DVD as far as we know, right, Bill?
And so is Universal.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Universal said we have no plans to support Blu-ray, so cram it up your ass,
Sony.
Blu-ray.
Give this people air.
Yeah, huh? Give HD DVD air. Screw you.
If Matrix were here, he would laugh too.
Just so you guys remember this.
Quato says,
I ain't never saw a rose that was dirty.
Exactly. All right, Bill, what DVDs we got this week?
Before I do DVDs, I just want to mention that I started watching this anime on YouTube called Denocoil. DennoCoil, two words. And it is a really, really cool series that... If people like anime, check it out on YouTube. I think every episode is on there, split into 3 parts.
I can get into anime, especially if the story's good.
Denocoil is like, it takes place in the real world, but they wear these glasses, which then makes you see like a cyber world.
Sounds like They Live.
Well, it's kind of like that. But
They Live mixed with The Matrix.
Sweet.
It's very well done. I like it a lot. But I just want to just...
On the flip side, I finally saw Resident Evil Extinction. It was horrible.
I was laughing so hard whenever they tried to fit another Resident Evil character in and casted Ali Larder as...
She was Claire Redfield. Like, what?
How was Ashanti, though?
She died.
Dead about halfway through, thank God.
She got pecked to death.
The kid named Kmart. How was Kmart?
I laughed so hard at that part.
You know, I grabbed that for you, Jason, so you'll get to see that next week.
I can't wait, because Russell Mulcahy did it. Apparently he sold his soul to the devil to make one good movie, and he made Highlander. And then
the writing is horrible.
Writing is really awful. My favorite was Mike Epps as the guy that gets bitten early on and tries to hide it from everyone.
Oh my God, that character's in every zombie movie. Oh, let me hide this.
Yeah, it is. And that's what made me laughing out loud.
It's 500 degrees out here.
I was just thought, there's the guy that's going to hide it, and then he's going to turn into a zombie at the worst possible time.
Yeah, exactly. At the most inopportune moment. And not only that, he's going to stand behind the person not paying attention. Does that happen? All of a sudden, you see him rise up, and the audience is like, oh my God, he's a zombie now! Turn around! It's like, whatever, Steven. Anyway, oh my God, you're a zombie!
Yep, that happens.
Yep. Everything predictable.
You want a piece of me?
You know, speaking of zombies, I also saw a trailer to Diary of the Dead, George Romero's new zombie flick, where it's kind of like Cloverfield, where a guy's making it. He's filming what's going on as zombies are coming back. It sounds like a good premise, but everything I read about it is a big miss. Like, they know what he was attempting, but it's just not that good. Because Romero, he never has enough money to hire decent actors. And when he does hire decent actors, he doesn't have enough money for good effects.
Does he have Casper Van Dien in it by chance?
He should have him in there.
Yeah, you know what? I think it would have been better.
Of course. He always makes the movie.
All right. So let's start DVDs here. Starting DVDs for January 15th, 2008. That's next Tuesday. Why not kick it off with another triple, quadruple dip of An Affair to Remember, this one being the 50th anniversary edition.
We die.
She dies, I think. Does she?
I haven't seen it. Spoiler
alert. I can't freaking remember.
Who's in it?
That's that Cary Grant movie.
Is Ashanti in that?
No, but she should be.
She get pegged to death?
She needs the time travel speed. And
Ashanti, look out, girl! Oh, no! She's so talented!
She's to death by zombie crows. That's the best part.
Where's Ludacris to help you?
That was so funny. In Extinction, all these crows around, they're like, look at those crows, what's wrong with them? And then, of course, the Ali Larder character has to go, oh, no, they've been eating on infected flesh.
And it's
like, oh my God.
Does anyone in the movie go, zombie crows?
I think maybe someone does. I don't remember.
Yeah, maybe. And then Mila Jovovich says something really, you know,
profound.
Cocky and profound. And then telekinesis is, if that's a word, fire all around to fry the bird.
Hey, spoiler alert, guys.
Oh, trust me.
No, it's not
so
a spoiler.
Bad. Yeah, it's not. It's
I control fire.
How does she control fire? What does she have to do with any of the video games?
Nothing.
They've created this thing called the Alice Project, and she's one of them, and there's tons of them. And now, so the next one is going to be her with a bunch of her clones.
So are there Japanese guys at Capcom watching that movie going, oh, I'll kill that guy.
Oh, I can't believe it. What they do to our movie.
Damn you, Paul Anderson.
That's Mexican.
Paul W.S. Anderson.
Mexican-Japanese.
It's like the Solid Snake Project.
Yeah. All right. Next DVD is, let's see here. I don't understand this. I love the Charlie Brown specials, but I've never seen this one. Be My Valentine, Charlie Brown?
No, uh-uh. I haven't either.
It says it was made in 75, so it's one of the original ones.
Huh. I thought I'd seen them all.
Yeah, same here. I tell you what, though. Snoopy, I know you're enjoying yourself, buddy. No. I've seen the newer ones, and they just don't, they don't, you know, yeah, hold a Snoopy flickering dog candle.
A lot of it, when they remake them or they redub them, they're all crap.
Yeah.
Any cartoon.
All right, next DVD. This is, I'm definitely picking this one up. I love the Biography Channel, and I love the biography of Chuck Norris.
Awesome.
I'm so, so sorry, Bill.
What are you, sorry what? About? Chuck Norris kicks ass.
They now have the HD Biography Channel, and I watched the biography of Duran Duran last night. Awesome!
Really?
Yeah.
Simon Le Bon is hungry like the wolf.
Yeah, those, that band has broken up and gotten back together so many times, and no one even knew. I think
they're the template for the broken up band.
Yeah, they still succeeded. You got to give them credit for that.
Kill them! Kill them all!
And that's the thing. Anybody, they have a standing invite. Like, if somebody says, guys, I can't do this year, they'll go, okay. But they're always allowed back. You know, there's so many bands that are like, you're out, man. You're never allowed back.
Yeah,
they're
not
just
loyal.
Like, no, we'll take you anytime you want to come back.
We hate you.
So there was a Chuck Norris biography?
Yes, there was. And I wonder if he approved it for Mike Huckabee.
Yeah.
Have you seen those commercials? Oh, my
no.
God.
But
and Chuck Norris approved.
That's terrible. That's crap.
Hmm. All right, next DVD is Extras, the complete series, the Ricky Gervais series that aired on HBO here in the States.
I disagree with it.
Which so, was mediocre at best.
I've seen a handful of episodes, and it's very hit and miss, I think. I mean, I think Ricky, Cookie Gervais...
Cookie
Gervais.
You do that every time.
He's a talented.
Still funny.
He's a talented guy, but sometimes it's not. I think the first season of Extras is very shaky. I saw a couple this season, and it's funnier. It got better. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I've seen better British comedy. Next DVD is something that everybody should own, and that's Family Guy Blue Harvest Special Edition.
I'm so tired of Family Guy now.
I know. So this is a bonus digital copy on the disc, so you can share it or put it on your iPod.
Share.
It's gotten audio commentary from Seth MacFarlane and a bunch
I
of
don't
other stuff.
No.
That really doesn't matter.
You know what's funny,
sucks.
Bill, is there's a NBC has this thing called Hulu, HULU.com, and they're in beta right now. But basically, all of Fox's and NBC's properties are on Hulu. It's kind of like YouTube, but they are controlling it. And you can watch entire episodes of series and stuff. So I can watch all these Simpsons episodes on my computer and watch them full screen. It looks pretty decent, much better than YouTube ever looked. And several times, they have the little boxes at the bottom of the screen, much like YouTube of other shows. I will have The Simpsons on, leave the room, and come back, and my daughter's sitting at the computer, and she's clicked on freaking Family Guy, and she's sitting there watching Family Guy. And that's happened twice.
Oh, no, it's not allowed in my house.
I was like, no! Just jump in front of the screen. And I'm like, what are you watching? She's like, I don't know, show. And I'm like, you're watching Family Guy. You don't want to watch that. She goes, no, I want to watch it. I want to watch it.
So, it's cartoon. That's all she cares about.
Thanks a lot, Seth MacFarlane.
A talking baby and a talking dog. That's all we need.
Exactly, Bill. Exactly, little Bill.
Thank you.
Whenever your volume lowers, I'm just going to call you little Bill.
Oh, God. I'm riding the volume. All right, next DVD is Good Luck Chuck, and it's unrated version. For all
Drop
your Jessica Alba, Dane Cook funniness.
Hey, Jessica Alba, she walks into a telephone pole in that, I think.
God, I love pratfalls.
Yeah, I love when they take a hot chick and have her real clumsy. Ooh, that's original.
Yeah, I can't handle this crap.
Has Dane Cook ever been funny in a movie yet?
Has he ever been funny should be the question.
He's been in how many movies?
Like too many.
A couple. Have you ever laughed at anything he's done? He was in that other movie with Dax Shepard, the Jessica Simpson movie.
Employee of the Month.
Yeah. Steven, how was that?
Haven't seen it.
I know you're shocked, but I haven't seen it.
Sure. Yeah.
I did see the Ben Stiller one.
The Farrelly Brother ones?
Yeah.
The Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah.
How was it?
How was that?
Actually, it really wasn't that bad. There was some really good funny stuff in there. Now, you minus that bicycle pratfall.
Hairy balls. Then they're called hairy balls.
There's some really dirty sex humor in it that was hilarious.
I think that chicken it's hot, that Malin Ackerman.
When it comes on HBO, I'll watch it, you know, something like that.
We rented it, you know. It was a renter.
You bought it, Stephen. No. You own it.
Yeah, he bought it on HD DVD.
You have the triple disc, don't you?
Yes.
Triple disc.
All right, next DVD is Henry Rollins, Live in the Conversation Pit. And this is him doing his little spoken word thing in Australia.
Right, he's done that forever.
He's been doing it for a long time.
And, you know, I've never seen him do it.
He's on a new talk show, too, on Fuse.
Yeah, I've watched that on IFC. He's got a...
it's on the Fuse, too, well.
It's a good show.
Oh, isn't Fuse that extreme sports channel?
No, it's a music channel.
Oh, it's the Canadian music channel. Yeah. It used to be called Much Music.
Yeah, it used to be Much Music.
His show, I enjoy his show, and he has interesting guests at times. He had Michael Madsen on once, and he was talking to him about movies, working with Quentin and stuff. And then he said, well, you write poetry, man. He goes, yeah, I'd actually like to read one of the poems I wrote. And Michael Madsen's reading his poetry. I thought it was very interesting, but also weird. And you know,
yeah,
you were stuck in like a macho homoerotic paradox.
Yeah,
I saw him
this
with
tough guy
with,
reading his poems
with Chris Walken a couple weeks.
Yeah,
about 2 weeks ago.
You know, another bit of poetry done by a cool dude.
I ain't never saw a rose that was dirty.
Nice.
Genius.
I ain't never saw a rose that was dirty.
Beautiful. Bravo! Bravo!
All right, next DVD is the 40th anniversary collector's edition of In the Heat of the Night. You can call him Mr. Tibbs, I think.
Yes. I've never seen this film. Just the
Norman Jewison, Rod Steiger, Sidney Poitier.
Just the clips every year on the Oscars when they do the montages.
Yeah, because somebody from the movie dies every year for the past 10 years.
I just have a problem here.
Just waiting for Sidney Poitier to kick it. Or Poitier.
Say it ain't so.
He's hanging with Oprah right now.
As he should.
Now, I love these DVDs. There seems to be a new one every year, and that's of these, I don't know what you would call them, ambiance DVDs, and this is Living Fireplace. So if you don't own a fireplace, or if you do and you don't want to light it, you can get this DVD and put it on, and you've got a fireplace on your TV.
That is so cool, man.
Big screen,
I know.
Fireplace.
And I bet you it's got a Christmas music track on it.
I would totally buy that.
Well, get this. If you like fish tanks and you don't have a fish tank, you can get Living Marine Aquarium. And then you'll have a fish tank on your TV.
Hey, do they have the high-def version?
You know what? They do.
Oh, yes!
And you know what also? There's three unique scenes. So if you like freshwater fish, take that. You like tropical fish, take that.
If you like,
a mix and see half of them die, watch that.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. Also, the piranha tank.
Mm-hmm. Where you see Richard Pryor jump in and then get his pajamas eaten off.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of holes in his clothes.
Yeah.
He runs real fast.
I remember seeing that, thinking that's what piranhas did. They ate pajamas when I was a kid.
They just bite holes all the way, you know, in your clothes. Yeah. Some prop guy sat over there with scissors doing that.
No, man, you got to make it look jaggy. Oh, God, the toy.
So he's a dumbass.
And that poor kid grew up to be a, well, not really a porn star, but
did one
pathetic.
Porn. I think he attempted porn.
Yeah, Scott Schwartz.
Which is worse, becoming a porn star or attempting and failing?
Attempting and failing. It's like the guy that got his Schwanz cut off. He did that movie Frankenpenis.
Oh, Bobbitt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Bobbitt.
That's pathetic. God, I haven't heard that name in a long time.
I saw that porn.
John Wayne
pretty...
Bobbitt something.
John Wayne Bobbitt.
All right.
Frenching Billy
Next
Bob.
Next DVD is Monster, uncensored version. I have no idea where this comes from.
It's a very generic film.
Yeah, it's like a tentacle going up some skyscraper. And it says it's in Japan, and a camera belonging to two missing American filmmakers was found. Oh, my God. It sounds like a total ripoff of Cloverfield. Like somebody went, you know what? They're doing this crazy Cloverfield movie with camcorders. Let's do the same thing.
But let's do it in my backyard, man. Come on.
And pretend it's Japan.
Yeah, pretend it's Japan.
I bet you this is a sci-fi flick.
Let's go down to the local tech college. There's a lot of Asians down there.
You know what? Toronto looks exactly like Japan in the dark.
We'll go hang out to the
Chinatown.
Chinese buffet place. When the employees
but
are getting
we're
off
supposed
the...
to be in Japan, man. This it doesn't matter. They're all Asian.
When they're clocking out, man, we'll just film them going to their cars. We'll speed it up. It looks like they're running towards their cars.
We'll give them cameras and tell them to yell Godzilla.
Godzilla! Godzilla! Exactly.
All right.
Oh, Rosie. That is offensive.
Movie with the least subtle title of the year. Mr. Woodcock, with Billy Bob Thornton, Sean William Scott, and Susan Sarandon.
That movie just looked like an abomination.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Again, another movie with, toilet humor and pratfalls.
Yeah, hey, I'm tripping over stuff. Darts are flying into me, glass shards. It's hilarious.
I can't stay on the little track, the little...
What is Billy Bob... I really think that Billy Bob Thornton's a talented guy... Obviously, he's just collecting a paycheck there, right?
Yeah, totally paycheck stuff. And you know what? He'll do a ton of bad movies just so he can do one good movie.
Right.
So I bet you here in about a year, he's going to do something unfreaking believable.
So it's been a while since he's done something like Monster's Ball, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, or Sling Blade.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I got to admit, though, I love Bad Santa. I think it's one of the funniest movies.
Exactly,
but that has more to do with Terry Zwigoff, who wrote and directed it, than him. All right, next DVD. I'm only bringing it up because I watched it and I really enjoyed it. It's the A&E series, Modern Marvels. They did one on video games and the history of it. And
I watched it.
It was good. And it comes out this week, so if you want to rent it on Netflix. And check it out. I recommend it.
So what is it? Just basically a documentary, a weekly documentary on different
Yeah,
subjects?
It's called Behind the Fun. It shows the history and the making and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. Speaking of pretty cool, New Adventures of Old Christine, the complete first season.
Nice.
Oh, God.
That's actually not... I laugh at the show. I watch it with my wife. I like it.
Wait, you know what? The New Adventures of Old Christine, with the Julia Louis-Dreyfus show, CBS show. You know, it's...
It's got Wanda Sykes on it.
She's the funny black chick.
Yeah, basically...
The stereotypical thing.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus sets it up, sets up the alley-oop, and then Wanda Sykes dunks it! Hilarity!
Yep.
Sounds like it.
Wanda Sykes is good at dunking.
Yes. It's that funny.
It's evil funny.
Evil laugh.
See, I think the best thing about the Super Bowl over the past 3 years has been during the break, whenever the shitty halftime show is going on, if we flip over to Animal Planet, we get the Puppy Bowl. And that's just these adorable puppies in a fake football field playing with each other and not in that way, you know.
But I was about to say.
I knew Vanessa was going to go there.
Of course.
But it's adorable, and it's painfully adorable to the
you
point
said
where
adorable.
You want to slit your wrists. It's so adorable. Yes. And then a pit bull jumps in and eats all the puppies and mauls the cameraman.
I remember watching that last year. We flipped it over there, my daughter, to see. It is pretty cute. They do like a New Year's one too, don't they?
I didn't know that. But it's like, it's far too cute to be on television. It's like, it makes you sick. It's so cute. Speaking
like,
of sick,
bomb, man, this is so cute.
Sick. Speaking of sickness, Rush Hour 3 pack. So if you don't own the first two and haven't yet picked up the third,
awesome.
You're gonna pick up this 3-pack of
the
Brett
trilogy Ratner. Is now complete, Steven.
You know they're gonna do more.
They're gonna do more. Yeah, they're gonna do.
Never touch a black man's radio.
Until Jackie Chan dies.
The Rush Hour Chronicles.
Yeah, Jackie Chan's gonna die, and then they're gonna hire Mark DeCosta.
Jet Li.
Jet Li.
Jet Li will take his place.
Say some.
They need to get the Asian guy from Harold and Kumar to take over.
Oh, jeez, he's Korean.
I'm gonna kick your ass.
Sorry.
I'll be the Koreans.
Don't mean to upset you there, Chris. She's Gotta Have It, a Spike Lee joint.
What the hell
I
did you
hate
just
the
say?
Fact that he... I said She's Gotta Have It, a Spike Lee. Why does he always have to name his movies joints? Why doesn't he just say, it's a Spike Lee film?
It's his bag.
His shtick.
I'm going to give him a shtick
It'd
up
be
his ass.
It'd be asinine to think otherwise.
Has any of you seen She's Gotta Have It?
No.
No.
No, I have not.
Do you know what this is implying? What does she have to have?
Vibrator? New shoes?
Cheap car insurance?
Some young stuff.
Fabio?
So what?
Going
like,
damn,
like,
Grandma?
Like baby formula, Steven?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Hey,
if you want to call it baby formula.
Nice.
Euphemism alert.
I set up the dunk. He slams it home. Little alley-oop action.
Nice job.
All right, next movie is Strays.
Way to go,
Vin
Steve.
Diesel.
That's good stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Kermit.
And Foggy slams it home. All right, so Strays with Vin Diesel, Mike Epps, and Joey DiDio. This was written and directed by Vin Diesel.
Oh, nice.
Great.
Yeah, and it was done in 1997, so hey.
You know, I've like, heard that that it's good.
It showed, is it?
It showed a lot of promise. Actually, I think he wants to be a director more than an actor. Just the actor thing turned out to be, you know, kind of took off. But
hey,
yeah.
I love Pitch Black. I think it's one of the great sci-fi flicks.
It is
flicks.
A good... He's a filmmaker at heart, and I expect him to make more films. And I haven't seen this, but I would really check it out.
I saw one movie he directed.
It was in Sundance.
One called Multifacial, where he's an actor trying in different auditions.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
It was actually done very well. It was low budget.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was done really well.
I think he's a talented guy. He just gets a bad rap. And I think the same is for Paul Walker, because I love the guy in Running Scared, and he just doesn't make real good choices.
Yeah, bro. Right. I agree with you, bro. Aren't they both going to do the next Fast and the Furious? So they're kind of...
I think they are. I think that they finally realized that it's going to... I mean, those movies make money, even whenever there's no stars
in
them.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I got a mortgage to pay. Let's make another Fast and Furious. All right.
Why are they making this crappy movie?
We got the kid from Sling Blade in this one.
Are you kidding, Vanessa? The kids with the rice burner cars, they love that
stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
you know, when I was... I think it was like a couple months ago, it was on HBO, that the Tokyo Drift one. I found myself actually enjoying it, sadly.
It's basically, here's what it is. Stupid fun.
Yeah, it is. It's like, and it's the fish out of water stuff.
The
you know,
thing
the,
I hate, though,
you got
Bill,
the stupid part, right?
I hate the drive. They hit the nitrous in their cars, and all of a sudden it turns into a video game where it's CGI and everything's stretching. Yeah. Like, if you ever been in a car and it's going fast, everything doesn't go. I'm in the Matrix. I'm going so fast.
Like, the director saw the game Burnout, and then were like, hey, let's do that in film.
Yeah.
Because in Burnout, when you hit that nitrous, everything blurs, except yeah. What's directly in front of you.
It sounds like a cool idea at first, but it's just stupid.
They overdo it, too.
Watch a cool movie. What's a movie where they actually use real cars in the car chases? Just do it all practical. We don't need the CGI car stretching and, like, the bending of time. Like, all
look
of a sudden,
at any of the Bourne Identity films.
You're
look
going
at
so fast, the clocks are start going backwards. Oh, I'm going through time!
Ronan has some great car chases.
The original Gone in 60 Seconds.
Wow.
Well, that's all that is.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
And that's fun. What's fun about the original Gone in 60 Seconds, even though it's a horrible movie,
is
that it was all real cars getting smashed up and stuff. There's something about that that's cool. The Nicolas Cage movie, the part with the CGI car jump over the bridge, gay.
I laughed so hard. You know, you actually kind of was enjoying the movie up until that point. That point was like the jumping the shark.
The funniest thing about that whole movie is they need a certain amount of cars in order to get his brother off the hook, right? And then when the end comes, it turns out the actor, who's actually a really good actor, who's the bad guy, I can't remember his name. He was the invisible guy on Heroes, and he was also Doctor Who, but I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, Christopher Eccleston.
Christopher Eccleston. He's like, no, I'm just going to kill you. And he's like, oh, no, you're not. So there's this big thing, and he ends up killing the bad guy. So it's like, do we really need to collect all these cars? You just killed them anyway. Why didn't you kill them in the beginning of the movie?
My brother.
Yeah,
my
why
brother,
didn't you just go and kill them?
My brother was watching this the other day, and he pointed out the little misnomer in it. You know, it's like, there's 48 cars, but there's three left to come. It's like, wait, there's only supposed to be 50 cars, you know?
It's bad.
Exactly.
All right. Next DVD. They must have released this a gazillion times, too. When Harry Met Sally, Collector's Edition.
Jesus Christ.
Are there people that really watch this movie? I mean,
old
honestly.
People.
I think it's a good movie, and I like it.
You'll watch it on TV, won't
you? It's a good movie. Meathead directed it.
It's okay. Meathead.
No, I cannot stand these hormonal Nora Ephron movies.
This was the first one, though. This is the one that they all copied. So.
Yeah, it's when it should have stopped. Like we needed Sleepless in Seattle. And
it's good. Got Mail. Yeah.
Sleepless in Seattle. That's a good flick.
Any of that romance crap.
You know what the best thing was about that Sleepless in Seattle? Jimmy Durante music.
Oh, my God. I'm going home. Will somebody call a cab?
Not yet. Last DVD. Yes, classic artists.
Huh?
The story of Yes is as controversial as their music. And you, too, can...
How is their music controversial?
It was really bad, and people
said
that it was controversial.
I only know Owner of a Broken Heart. Bam, bam, ba-doom, ba. Bam, bam, ba-doom, ba.
This stupid video they had 100 different ones of. It was the same one with the guy flipping around.
And he turns into an eagle or something.
The only song I really remember is Roundabout and Siberian Cluster.
Yes.
Yes sucks. But if you really love Yes, you could get this 2-DVD set that's packed with original music.
2 DVDs of this?
Yeah, rare and unseen photographs from personal collections and a performance archive, musical promos, and last but not least, a 20-page full-color booklet.
Awesome.
That'll sell like hotcakes.
Wild album cover art.
Yeah, I'm going to walk into Best Buy, and the moment I walk through the door, I'm going to go, everyone, I need the new Yes DVD, so that they all know. No Granada. I wonder what would happen if you walked into a store and yelled that.
No Granada.
You get your ass kicked.
One grenade.
As opposed to multiple.
Nice.
And that's DVDs for this week. The releases are Tuesday, January 15th, 2008.
And HD DVD is no more, right, Bill?
No, HD DVD is alive and kicking still. It's just got a
Sorry. All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs this week. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
Oh, nice.
All right, everybody. That was episode 107 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And thank you for downloading our show. We love you. If you'd like to go to nimlive.com, N-I-M-L-I-V-E, or nowhereinmulberry.com, you could find our site with all of our shows, including Mulberry Old School. You could also find our chat room and our forum and stuff like that. If you'd like to go to our forum and join up, you can talk to us and talk about the format war.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know, does everyone talk about that?
Make sure you argue with Bill over the format war.
Yeah, I went on to the Hollywood Saloon forum, which I rarely do because I just don't like forums in general. I think people just want to argue and
Bill,
debate.
That's where Nowhere Mulberry forum is. It's on their forum.
Yeah, I know.
Are you talking about bad. You don't wander into
but
that
we have
section?
Our own section?
Right.
Normally, I don't venture over to the Hollywood forum section, but I did this week, and I went into the HD DVD Blu-ray DVD. Yeah, and they were going on and on about how he's dead, and it went from HD DVD to Blu-ray, and then it turned into which game system is better.
I would just read the stuff Bill was writing. I was like, no, Bill's getting sucked in. You can't post anything.
Yeah,
you can't.
You know what? I just don't have the patience to dissect people's posts one by one. I mean, there were posts on there. If I said something, it was just my opinion. You know, I didn't expect
that's what it all is.
Yeah, but I didn't expect anybody to take my opinion as fact. The people on there have to dissect it sentence by sentence and actually quote you, give the answer, quote you, give you the answer, quote you.
Yeah, this is why you're wrong about your opinion. Yeah, it's like you have an opinion too. I have an opinion.
Yeah.
And when you're arguing with somebody about each other's opinions, you can also dismiss, and you do dismiss their opinion. And here's why it's wrong, because this is my opinion. It goes nowhere. Yeah. There's no sense of it. And that's what, you know, when you get into a message board like that, I saw there was a thing about, like, you believe that the Xbox 360 has a lot better games than PS3 games. Or, like, no, I don't think so, Bill, because Halo 3 is totally overhyped. It's not that good.
And Gears of War is, you know, not good because it's for children that like Bloodlust.
I saw that game isn't that good. It was overhyped. People said it was a lot better than it really is. Okay, I don't care how hype something is. If it's good, it's good. If it's not, it's not. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't care
and there's
how
no overhyped. It's just, and I finally, I broke down to the point where, you know, somebody, I think it's this Pedrick or something. I don't know. It's one of Andy's guys. I think he's the new webmaster. He was dissecting my post about the 360, and I just posted GIFs of Gary Coleman as Arnold saying, who effing cares, and then a picture from an anime of a guy blowing his brains out.
Yeah, I mean, basically, like, when you get into a thing like that, it has nowhere to go but to get childish and get into...
Yeah. But that's the thing. That's what they want to do. They just want to argue.
It's just
and they want
arguments. You can't ever let anything go, and your opinion's wrong, mine is right.
And I went back there to just check on it because Andy told me to. And one of those guys, I think it was Marty DMC12, who just loves to bitch and moan and complain, and even Andy wanted me to debate him on a show about HD DVD versus Blu-ray. And you know what? I don't want to debate you. I don't want to tell you why I think something's better. You know, it's just there is no use in it. It's futile. And so he posts this picture of one of Andy's
I'm not going to debate you,
fans of the Hollywood Saloon. I think his name's Tyrant on the boards. He bought the HD DVD of Blade Runner, that beautiful set with the case and everything.
I got it for Christmas.
And he posted it as one of those like successories pictures, but negative, and it says like pathetic, you know, showing off DVD of dead format. You know, and it's like, What use is there in that? Why are you egging him on? Why are you even bothering? Don't you have better things to do with your time?
No, that's the thing.
The answer
they don't.
Is no.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, and that's funny. What I posted in my last post. I was like, you know what? I have better things to do with my time than debate people about things that are meaningless.
Yeah, it's all opinion anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I said, you know, there's a reason why the saying exists, opinions are like assholes.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are on that forum. So there you go. Everybody that likes the Hollywood Saloon and doesn't agree with me, shove it up your ass. Because I don't care.
Oh, I've gotten in, people try to debate me over the console thing. Like, this is better. I'm like, look, I go where the games go. I don't give a shit about the console.
Yeah.
I care about the games.
That's what I am right now. I love my 360. I love the games for it.
Bill,
I think it has the better games right now. You know what? PS3 may have better games in a year from now. But
exactly.
Right now, I think the 360 has the most and best games currently.
All right, everybody, that's our show.
Sorry.
Hey, by the way, Marvel rules. DC sucks.
Yeah. Dark Horse.
Oh, yeah, Dark Horse, man.
Coleco kicks in television's ass.
Atari 5200 kicks Coleco's ass.
By the way, my dad can kick all your dad's asses.
Well, you know what? My kid could kick honor student's ass. You suck. You all suck. And B-Dub thinks so, too. So go suck yourselves.
Whoa. Much love, everybody.
I ain't never saw a rose that was dirty.
Now this is podcasting.